Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Okay, today we've got John Stockton, who's a manager at Avanade. I want to ask him about Avanade, but I will point out before we even begin that the very first time I met John, I was doing a presentation. What happened, John? My computer just crashed,
and your
saved
computer,
me. I know that.
Yeah, your computer. I don't think it was your computer that crashed. It was you couldn't find expression encoder. You were doing a whole presentation on expression encoder and the VM. Somehow that app had disappeared.
How do you lose an application?
I have no idea.
But I do remember this guy in the front said, here's a computer fully loaded, ready to go. And it was, well, thank you, sir. Because now I have to show that it's not that I can't find the app, it's that I don't know what to do with it. But so that's how we met. We met by your saving my presentation at, what was that, CodeMash 2009?
Yeah, that's been, 3 years ago? Or 2 years ago. Two years ago now. Yeah.
Although we had conversed electronically before that.
Yes.
So before we start, what is Avanade and what do you do for them?
Well, Avanade is a consulting company it's a billion-dollar revenue consulting company now that is a joint venture, or started at least as a joint venture between Accenture and Microsoft. So basically, we're a big consulting company that specializes in Microsoft technologies. Go ahead.
No, I was just drooling over the $1 billion. Go on.
Well, yeah, my chunk of that is not that big. My role is I'm titled manager, but that basically just means I'm a really senior developer that leads a couple people. The branch I work in specializes in Microsoft Dynamics CRM. So what we've been doing a lot of lately is building custom Silverlight applications either in line within the CRM application or sometimes as complete custom front ends for CRM.
Okay, off chance that anybody is not familiar with the term, it's customer relations management is CRM?
Yes. Okay. Yes, except the way we use it is typically not for that purpose. We use CRM, Dynamics CRM, as a platform, as kind of a rapid application platform for whatever the customer needs. Anything, because it's really good at managing relationships, and those relationships don't have to be people. They can be parts, they can be orders, they can be anything that has a relationship. So we use it as a platform to get custom applications built very quickly.
That's very cool. And what kinds of, just because you've piqued my curiosity, what kinds of relationships can be modeled? Is it hierarchical or is it associative or how does that work?
Pretty much anything you can dream of. They can be nested hierarchically. They can be just associated by some random piece of data. Pretty much anything you can think of, you can pull off through it. So we've done stuff for advertising companies, for car companies, for big online e-commerce companies, for government agencies, for Department of Defense, you name it. We've done it for an incredibly varied client base.
Very cool. And how much of your time is spent in Silverlight and Windows Phone?
100%. Unless I'm writing a document, which is related to those. I'm 100% Silverlight and have been for almost a full 3 years now.
That's extraordinary. That's great. And there are a lot of, there are going to be a lot of jealous people writing to you saying, you got another position there?
Yeah. Well, we frequently do. So.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll send people your way and I'll try to remember to get a link from you both to, now, am I right that you have a blog, an active blog?
I wouldn't call it active anymore. In fact, I think it's gone beyond inactive to you know, decrepit and dust covered.
I see. to a dormant blog.
Yes. Okay.
Well, in any case, we'll get a link to your company. So, tell me what's been on your mind and what's been interesting for you in the last short while.
Well, in the short term, I've loved seeing the progression of Silverlight and not just the platform itself, but the adoption of it. The one thing that really interests me in this is it has gone from, over a very short time, we've gone from Silverlight being looked at as a flash competitor and basically just, yeah, it could do some cool media and play some video and that's about it. Even though, I mean, those of us who used it knew it could do more, but that's what it was looked at as. And now I don't see it referred to that at all. It is a line of business platform when you want a client application that is web distributed or on a device like Windows Phone. So it's this progression has been pretty dramatic when you look at at the speed in which that's happened. I mean, Silverlight 2 has only been out it entered beta less than 3 years ago. And so this move to a real line of business platform has been incredibly fast and very impressive.
Now, you said an interesting thing. Well, you said a number of interesting things, but one I want to pick up on right away is that you referred to it as a application that's web delivered, implying that this is essentially a thin client or a desktop application that's being delivered through the web, which is quite different from how Silverlight was positioned not very long ago as an application that runs in your browser on the client.
Right. And that distinction is big. It's huge because it has gone from being, just a web client, period, to one that can be a web client. It can be a desktop client. It can be a desktop client on multiple platforms, which is huge. That's absolutely huge. So where it used to be, if you needed, and with the power of Silverlight growing dramatically every release, it's gone from applications that you used to have to write in WinForms and then have another group write the same thing in Objective-C or something, or in Java. Now you can have one runtime that works on both. So it's literally, we've reached what Java said it was a decade or 15 years ago, the write once, run anywhere. We're pretty much there and with a really nice code base.
And how are you finding your use of Silverlight? Are you finding that what you're building is running predominantly in the browser or out of browser, or just really every variant is being used by your clients?
Currently, most of the apps I've done have been web-based, web or browser-based, I should say, but not all. And right now, for one particular client, I have the whole solution for that client involves a couple of web-based or browser-based applications and a desktop-based application, so that all work to a common backend. So it's nice that we have now a platform that can run in multiple environments with one code base. So once your developers learn Silverlight, once they know XAML and C# and the framework, it doesn't matter what they're targeting. You can write it essentially the same for any platform. Of course, every platform has differences. You can do things in some platforms, like on the phone, that don't make sense in the browser, or on the desktop, you have more capabilities than on the phone. But
I like to use geolocation on desktop applications. I think that's always very useful. You're here. You're still here. You're still here.
Yeah. Exactly. So there are capabilities that are specific to the platform, but in general, the development paradigm, the platform, the framework is vastly the same regardless of which one you're developing towards.
Okay. You mentioned training developers on Silverlight, and that once trained, they're looking at a cross-platform and cross-operating system framework. But what is that training curve like now? Because Silverlight itself has become fairly large and complex at this point. And that's happened quickly, I think we would agree.
Yeah, very quickly. But the learning curve for Silverlight is both steep and shallow, depending on how you look at it and where the person's coming from. And to talk about this, really, you have to look at Silverlight over the years. You know, I say that like it's been around forever. But you look back 3 years ago to Silverlight 2 beta when it was first coming out. And everyone involved in Silverlight at the time, it seemed like anyway, was very aware of what the limitations were. We knew that, you know, we were sandboxed in a browser and there was no local database, and those were the big things. But the even little things, like you had to add the XAML MIME types to IIS, and you couldn't debug JavaScript and Silverlight at the same time, and those kinds of things. And that's not even to mention the lack of real controls and that kind of thing. But everyone involved was aware of that and was just knew it, because we knew it was a brand new platform, and at that time still in beta even. So pretty much everybody doing anything in it at the time was reading all the latest blogs. You were looking at all the latest information. You were very active on Twitter because everyone who knew it was there. So that was where you learned everything. That's where you got all your information. So everyone knew what the limitations were. I'm not saying that you didn't run into roadblocks, because of course you did, but you expected it then because it was a new platform. But now, 3 years later, we're seeing a lot of people come over that have been developing .NET applications, whether WinForms or ASP.NET or something else, for a very long time, but are new to Silverlight. And these developers just look at it as another .NET platform, which rightly they should, because it is. So they're running into a lot of the exact same issues that we ran into 3 years ago, because they understand the big blanket limitations, like the first ones I said before, you know, the sandbox and the no local database, even though that catches some off guard, and some of those limitations. But they don't get the things like the debugging limitations and the MIME types and stuff like that, that we now, those who of us who have been doing it for years, take for granted. But they don't know those and find it hard to find those answers. I still get people coming to me saying, hey, either asking a question or telling me this limitation that they just found that the older community has known for a very long time. And we just haven't done a good job of letting new developers know what those old limitations are.
So if they're not getting their information from blogs, where are they getting their information from? Is that from books, or is that from asking you questions, or how does that work?
Well, it's a little bit of all of the above. I have nothing to back this up. I haven't looked at numbers, but I would guess that book sales are a lot better now than they were back in the Silverlight 2 era. I mean, back in the 2 era, we sold some books, but it wasn't gangbusters, as you well know.
Ouch.
But, yeah, sorry. Today, it would seem that... I mean, I'm guessing here, but I'm thinking that the books are selling better today. I mean, Pete's book is awesome. Laurent's newest book is very good. There are others out there as well, and they're getting specific into specific topics, not just big overviews of Silverlight. So people are getting their information from books, but a lot of developers, probably like myself, you don't read the book cover to cover often. You just use it as a, hey, I need to look up something on bindings, so I'm going to go read a section on bindings or something like that. So even if the information's there in the book, they may not find it. Often people are also using a lot of quick starts. So they are using the quick starts from Silverlight.net, but a lot of them, they're going very targeted again. They're saying, okay, I need to know how to open a file dialog. So they watch the video on open file dialog, but they don't get the big overview. What was the other one? Asking questions. I think that's probably the biggest one. There are a lot of us out there these days that have been doing it for a long time. So we get questions, whether it's from people within our own company or over Twitter or at events. We get tons of questions. And again, when people ask, how do I get started? What do I need to know? We don't think about those things anymore because they're old hat. We've been doing it for a long time. We don't even think about setting up the debugging correctly in Java, in Visual Studio or anything like that.
Right. So I'm wondering, for example, I have a series of mini tutorials called Windows Phone from Scratch, but you're making me think again that there may be some assumptions there that it's not as from scratch as I think, that there are some built-in assumptions about what folks already know just because we've been through the hurdles of a couple of years. And so, yes, there's information about how to navigate or how to handle specifics of the phone or specifics of data binding, but not so much about the first program and all of the setup involved and getting your tools all aligned and so on and so forth.
Well, I think yes. I think that may be a hole. Now, your series is actually very good, but so I'm not talking phone specific here. I'm talking all platforms. But I think, yeah, I think we need to periodically go back and look at those. The, hey, watch this before you do anything video and have them out there for each platform or just a general one. And
nope, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you've talked a couple times about cross-platform, and I guess that raises the question as to whether you see Silverlight's commitment to cross-platform, and by that I specifically mean running on Windows, running on the Mac, and by way of Mono, running on Unix, whether you see that as important and still alive in a very vibrant way.
I do see it as incredibly important. Now, some people think Microsoft has been shying away from this lately. Internally, there have been a lot of talks about, hey, you shouldn't do that because you can't do it on Mac. And, well, a lot of that is because the feature set has gotten to where some things you just are different. There are things that Windows does that Mac doesn't, and vice versa. So it makes sense that some things would be done differently or not at all on two platforms. A great example of that is just last week. Now, for people listening to this, last week relative to me recording this, so it could be years ago when you listen to this.
Yeah, the way this is going, I may not put this one out for months. And months.
But Microsoft just released the native extensions for Silverlight, which if your app is running out of browser, and I believe it requires elevator privileges, and on Windows 7, then you could do some really cool things. Now, I mean, this involves things like taskbar items and stuff like that. Now, that doesn't make sense on a Mac. A Mac doesn't have that. So releasing it as not part of the core runtime, but as an add-in for Silverlight makes total sense. So it's saying, hey, we want you to use Windows, and a lot of your apps are going to be just on Windows. And if you're doing that, then here, you can use this and do some neat, cool stuff. But it didn't hurt the core runtime.
All right, well, let's stay with cross-platform and talk about now crossing from the desktop to the phone. How are you finding the tooling, the emulator, and the transition to building for the phone, having a fair amount of experience doing Silverlight Web, Silverlight Classic?
I love it. I think they've done a great job.